Well, this morning, as I said, we are starting a new book, and I ask you to turn to 1 Peter. Now, I titled this message, and really, it could have been titled so many different things because there are so many different topics, and we will be hitting just different, I want to say theological thoughts or just different truths that God reveals through His Word. And for me, they really minister to my spirit, and I hope and pray that these truths ministers to your hearts as well. But I titled the message, Reserved in Heaven for You. Reserved in Heaven for You. And the book in its totality, you could give it this theme, and that is how to live godly during difficult times. And it's not easy to live a godly life. And there's many reasons why, but one reason why is because this is an ungodly world, an ungodly culture, and an ungodly world system. And by and large, the culture and the system goes against God's will. And there is a nature that we all have. It's the nature of sin. And because of that sin nature, there is just that natural tendency to be bent against God. And even some of us who might think or feel that we believe in God, or that, you know, God's, as it's been said, Jesus is just all right with me, or maybe it's just been sung that way. When the truths of God's Word really start to be communicated, there's been many, many people who are religious, when they start to hear the truth of God, they get angry. They resist the truth of God, revealing and showing that they truly don't know God, because if they did know God, they would welcome the Word of God. But that's where we all start. By nature, we don't know God, and it only happens, that is, we come into a personal relationship with God when we trust Christ, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's an act of will. It's something we must choose. We must realize that we are sinners by nature, and that God sent His Son, Jesus, who loves us. God loves us, and Jesus is that expression of God to mankind. Remember what Jesus said. He said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I love this, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now, we're going to get into the book, but I want to first start out with a challenge. And I want you all to take this serious. I want you to not only take it serious, but I want you to be committed to this challenge. What's the challenge? Well, I'm going to ask you to read the book every single day for the next 7 days. That's the challenge. The book is only 5 chapters. It's really not a long read. But could you commit to that? Now, you might think, well, I can't commit to that. Well, then, if you can't commit to reading it every single day for the next 7 days, then would you at least commit to reading 1 Peter 3 times for the next 2 weeks? So you could read it Monday, Tuesday, read a couple chapters Wednesday, Thursday, etc. And read the book at least 3 times this week, and then 3 times the next week for 2 weeks. Now, why would you do that? Well, the reason why you would do that is multiple reasons, but one, if you couple it with faith, it will challenge you in so many different ways. The book itself will challenge you intellectually. It will challenge you spiritually. But not only will it challenge you, it will also bring you closer to your Creator and to your Savior, Jesus. It really will, when you couple it with faith, it will cause you to experience your Creator and draw you closer to Him.
Amen.
Another thing is that it will change you. The book itself will change you in what ways? Well, it will make you more Christ-like as you couple it with faith. And all of us want change. I can't think of a person who doesn't want change. If you do not want any change, I would say maybe something's not quite right with you. And, right? I mean, I don't know anybody who's just totally happy with themselves, happy with their life. I mean, there's some folks that maybe are content, and you learn to be content, but there's room for improvement in all of us. And I don't know of anybody, you know, there's different individuals that we like to pattern our lives after. There are some folks that we look at and we say, wow, that's a good model, good role model. I can't think of a better role model than God, than His Son, Jesus. And the more that you get to know Jesus, the more that you get to know God. Now, that's going to be a hard one to model perfectly. God understands that. But He does work through the reading of His Word and through the reading of 1 Peter. He does work in us a hunger and a thirst and a desire to be more like Christ. He will work that in you as you spend time meditating on what you're hearing. And also, reading through the book will make you more joyful, because it will make you appreciate all that God has done for you and what's reserved in heaven for you. It'll make you more joyful. There's a lot of things in this world that bring us down. Tons of things that bring us down. But one of the things that Jesus said is, I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. You know, God does desire to give us abundant life. If we only realize the good intentions that God had towards us, and even as we were singing, how He loves us, if we only were to come to a greater realization of how good God is, our lives would be radically changed. And I just pray that in some way, God will minister to your hearts in a profound way where it causes a hunger and a thirst to know Him more. And that will happen as you spend time reading 1 Peter. Also, it'll help you because when you come to church, when we gather together, you'll be invested. You won't just come in cold. You'll already be in the book. And while you're in the book, it's so important for you to ask the text questions. What does this mean? What does the writer mean by what it says? Let me not impose my own views or my own experiences on it, but what is Peter saying? What should I understand by what Peter's saying? And what should I do as a result of what I understand? You know, when you ask the text questions and you look to the text to answer those questions, you will be more invested, more engaged. And so when you come, you yourself will be more interested in what is being said here because you're already engaged personally. And it'll be a great experience for us. And so there's so many wonderful reasons. All right, well, let's get into the text itself. Then we'll pray, then I'll start the message. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're not going to read it all. We're just going to read the first 11 verses. Listen to what he's saying. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at or in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Wow. After reading that, some of us might be left with, what does that all mean? And those verses, they're just so pregnant. And when I say pregnant, I don't mean just with one little baby, if you would. I mean like quintuplets or a bigger number. You know, it's like, wow, it's so rich. Well, my hope is that during our time together, we would unpack these things. And you would leave here with a greater understanding of the God who loves you and the God who created you out of love for wonderful purposes. So let's pray and then we'll get into it. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace and for this time that we could spend together. I pray, Holy Spirit, that your word as it goes forth and this message as it goes forth would be well received. I pray, God, not only will it be well received, but that it would be effective in ministering to our hearts life, understanding, direction, correction, and there are any areas of our belief systems that doesn't line up with your word. And I pray, God, that you would bring peace upon our hearts and that you would equip me and enable me to be able to share these truths in a way that can be easily understood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to start out by just sharing with you several years ago. I mean, we're talking, this was at about 2004, I believe. Yeah, 2004. I started to develop some chronic pain, and I really didn't know what was going on inside of me. And that pain was in my hip. And some of you know that I have had my hip replaced. I got my hip replaced several years ago. I'm 53 now, and I got it replaced in 2006. Now, like I said, I did not know what was going on inside. And as the pain kept increasing, because initially I just thought I was just getting older and losing mobility. And I'd go to put on my shoe, and when I go to lift up my leg, I had to help it. I had to lift it. Have any of you ever experienced that? I mean, I know some of you have gotten your hip replaced, yeah. So I ended up going to the doctors and just saying, hey, you know, to the surgeon, it was Dr. Wilfred Coons, who did an excellent job. And he said, well, I wish I had some good news to tell you. But unfortunately, you are going to need your hip replaced because it's basically bone on bone at this point. And I was so young. I think I was 34 years old, and I had it done when I was 36. So he said, because you are young, you should wait as long as you can. Deal with the pain. Use a leave and etc. So I said, okay, doc, thinking to myself, I am never getting surgery. I'm going to be hooked on this Aleve and all this stuff, you know, bought it by the case. No. But it took about 2 years for the pain to move me to actually get the surgery. And I'll tell you, pain is a great motivator. But it got to a point where it affected my whole life. I had probably about 30 minutes of okay time, but the rest of my waking hours and even sleeping hours was just riddled with pain. And so I remember even at night waking up because of the pain. Well, what's the point of all that? Why am I telling you this? What's this have to do with God's word in today's message? Well, I had an issue going on inside of me, but I didn't know what it was, and I couldn't tell by observation. I needed someone outside of me to help me. And the person that I went to, based on experience, had some hunches. But in order for them to really see the true condition, they had to use something outside of them. They had to use an instrument that enabled them to be able to see what the real condition was. And once the x-rays were brought, then it was very clear what the issue was. I saw it for myself. Well, in like manner, there are many people that are living life and they know they have a problem inside, fundamentally. Something not right. And that's true of all of us. Fundamentally, we are all flawed. All of us have this sin condition. It's just some of us aren't accepting of the truth. We were created with some fundamental understanding of things. For example, there is a God, or we were created with an awareness that there is a creator, and there's certain things that we recognize that are wrong morally because God placed a conscience in us, but because of our bent towards God, that is a nature that is against God, we suppress that truth about God in unrighteousness by doing things that aren't right. And all of us know what it's like to suppress truth, or all of us know what it's like to know the right thing and then go against it, right? All of us have a conscience. You know what it's like. Your conscience will say, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that. And you talk yourself into doing it anyway because you have desires and passions that are stronger. That sinful nature is strong. And it will take over. And we don't have the ability to overcome. That's why even good moral people are wicked to the core. I mean, it's the facts. You will see, and it's interesting, for example, there are so many examples, but you see that there's so many individuals that have secret lives or have vices, And that's what they've learned, how to cope with the challenges of life and the hardships of life. For example, and I said there's many examples, but I went to a pastor's conference in May. And the conference was out in Philadelphia. There was about 1,500 pastors there. It was pretty incredible. I wish I could take you all. Well, anyway, we were staying at a hotel. And the hotel was next to a casino. Now, I'm a walker. I get up every morning and I go out and I try to do 5 miles a day. But I start with about 2.5, 3 miles in the morning. And by the end of the day, I usually hit my 10,000 steps. So in order to avoid, you know, walking in an area where it's more busy because of traffic, I just walked in the hotel area, and I had no idea there was a casino there, but shortly after walking in that area where hotels and restaurants and, you know, one of those parks, whatever you call them, like businesses, and I noticed these massive, massive screens, and there's three of them. And they're showing these different advertisements, which from a distance I couldn't make sense of them, but I figured, hey, that's cool. Let's see what that is. Anyway, I walk towards there, find out it's a casino. This place is massive. Now, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning, mind you. And I get there, as I'm walking there, I notice there's so many cars in the parking lot. It's a Monday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. So many cars in the parking lot. And all kinds of cars, you know, Honda Civics, you know, some Junkers, some BMWs, I mean, some Lexus, I mean, you name it, all different kinds of cars. Also, I saw all different kinds of people, ethnic groups, people coming in and coming out, because I guess it must be open 24 hours, or if not, it's open before 6, that's for sure. But the interesting thing was, as I got closer, there were people sleeping in those cars. People sleeping in their cars. I would say that if you're at a casino on a Monday at 6 in the morning, and there's probably a problem there. I mean, I'm not saying that for everybody, but I don't know. That to me seems like, you know, why wouldn't you go home? Yeah, maybe you want to save some money because you've got a problem, so you don't want to pay for a hotel room that's like right there. But either way, I thought that's pretty incredible. These folks have a gambling problem. Men, women, older, younger, sleeping in their cars. And I know it's a real problem. You know how I know? Because in the parking lot, there were signs. And on those signs, it says, it is illegal to leave your children in the car unattended. Why would you put a sign like that up? Because that's what they found in their parking lots. Anyway, people have vices. People have drug addictions, alcohol addictions, porn addiction, gambling addiction. There are so many things that people do in private, even wealthy people, moral people, that just proves that there is something inside of each individual that they're trying to find some kind of satisfaction. And these things, they're looking to the wrong things to cope, to deal with the struggles and the stresses of life. People become workaholics. And there's so many different families, and there's so much negative consequences. Just for example, that one thing, when you have people that are addicted to gambling, it makes you wonder how many, as a result, have lost houses, have lost cars, have lost spouses because of gambling. You know, so people have problems, but you know, Jesus is the answer to all of man's problems. And now all that to say, because I don't know, I didn't know what my condition, my true condition is. Men don't know what their true condition is. We need something outside of us help us to recognize, why am I this way? Why am I a contradiction? How many times have you been angry with yourself because you don't meet your own standards? You want to quit something, or you want to start something, and you fail yourself. I mean, how many of us have failed ourselves? I mean, that's the human condition. Why are we this way? Well, the only tool, the only instrument that helps us to understand our true condition, our spiritual condition, is right here. The Word of God. There is no other source. And to try to figure this out on your own, impossible. Because of our nature, our sinful nature, it hinders us. And then this world system hinders us. This is why it's so important to be in the Scriptures. Because when you are in the Scriptures, you are understanding God's will, God's character. And you can only understand what He's revealed about Himself. To the limit that He's revealed Himself, that's all that we can understand. Because, think about it, He is an infinite God, all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipresent. And we're just so finite. So we are very limited. He has no limits whatsoever. And He has no problems. God has no problems whatsoever. That's why He can help us. And that's what He wants to do today through His Word. He wants to help you. He wants to help me. He wants us to grow in the knowledge of who He is and to help us understand our true spiritual condition so that way we can take steps to get right with the Lord and welcome peace and salvation and security and joy and freedom and ultimately experience the eternal life that God has for us who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, it's so important as we are going to get into the Word that you couple what you hear with faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And what is faith? Well, faith simply is believe truth. And the Word of God is, when it comes to spiritual things, the only source of truth. And it's believe truth and trust truth. And faith in the Word of God is what activates spiritual awareness, spiritual understanding. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Even if it's insignificant faith, and by insignificant, I mean small. You might be here and, I mean, I believe, but, you know, I have my struggles. Even if it's small faith, even if it's imperfect faith, even if it's incomplete faith, and in reality, that's where we all are. There's a man in the Bible that kind of is a representation of humanity. And if you remember, he brought his son to Jesus. He needed help. And he asked Jesus to help him. And Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. And the man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And that's the struggle that we have. It's a sincere struggle of man. It's a conflict that we all share. And so my prayer is that during our time, which, boy, this time has gone by so fast. Yeah. Well, God bless you. Have a good day. It's gone by so fast, but nevertheless, my prayer is that the Lord will grant your request. If some of you feel the same way, I believe, but help my unbelief, those of you who are listening, that God would grant you your request and help your unbelief through the teaching of His Word. Now, Peter, he introduces himself. I guess this is just an introduction to the book. You have to keep coming back or listen online if you can't come back to continue with us in our study. But Peter introduces himself first. He says, Peter, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, as he introduces himself to the reader, of course, they knew who Peter was. And most of us don't know him personally, but if you hear the Apostle Peter, we have some idea of the Apostle Peter and the connection that he had with Jesus Christ. Now, as we were reading the verses that we read today, you know, a part of me thought, this was yesterday while I was reading it, but there, I was reminded again as we were reading it today, this man who wrote those things that we read earlier was just a fisherman. That's what he was. He was a fisherman. You would think he was a scholar by what he wrote, but he was an uneducated man. The Bible tells us that. And the religious leaders, they recognized of him and the other apostles that they were uneducated, unlearned men, but they had been with Jesus. And Jesus trained these men. And he mentions himself as an apostle because, see, the Lord called Peter out of his occupation as a fisherman. And he said specifically to Peter, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Isn't that cool, the way Jesus presented that to him? Jesus reached him where Peter can relate. He identified, he made a connection with Peter. And he said to Peter, "Follow me. You got a temporal work that you're doing. You're working in a secular work. I have greater things for you. I have an eternal work. And instead of fishing for fish, I want to use you to fish, if you would, for souls. Because I want to use you to advance my kingdom and bring many people into the kingdom of heaven." And I wonder how many of you, maybe Jesus is saying the same thing. Now you might think, well, where is he? God's Spirit is at work. You can't physically see him, of course, but the Spirit of Christ is at work, and he communicates within the inner person. I really can't see you, the real you. You can't see the real me. You are inside of you. You are inside of that body. That's your house. You're looking at my house, so to speak. Actually, the Bible calls it a tent. You know why the Bible calls it a tent? Because it's a temporal dwelling place. Obviously, we know that because 100% of men and women, we all what? We all die. Everybody has that day that death is going to take place unless the Lord comes before we die. But you're just looking at something that's temporary. And we know how temporary it is, especially as we keep getting older. You look in the mirror and you're like, oh my goodness. You walk around for the most part and you think you're pretty happy with yourself. Then you look in the mirror and you think, wow, who's that old person looking back at me? You know, it's like, how did this all happen? But nevertheless, God speaks and communicates to the inner person, and God is spirit. And the Bible tells us that those that worship him must worship him in spirit. That's how we connect with God, the spiritual part of who we are. And maybe some of you, God is saying, follow me. Jesus is saying, follow me. There's so much more to this life than what you've experienced. And I have so much more for you to experience, but you have to follow me. Now, Peter, what's so wonderful about Peter is, Peter, there was a time when he didn't walk with Christ, he didn't know Christ, but from the time that he stepped away from his life, his career, and I'm not saying that God's calling everybody to step away from the career or that, though. No, God can use you. If he says, follow me, he can use you right where you're at. But you have to be available and say, Lord, here I am, use me. I surrender my life to you. And the Bible tells us that the prayer of faith, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is so good. He is so good. But Peter, he walked away, he left his profession, and he started to walk with Christ. And he got to experience the divine Son of God. He experienced Jesus' teachings. He not only experienced Jesus' teachings, he experienced Jesus' miracles. And Jesus did so many miracles that really the books cannot record. I mean, the Bible just gives us a little amount of the miracles that Jesus did. Now, Peter, he saw Jesus heal people. He saw Jesus and was a part of Jesus feeding multitudes of people. The Bible tells us there was 5,000 men, not including women and children. So if every man was married and had one child, that's right there, 15,000 people with meager means. But Peter, he saw Jesus do these amazing miracles. He saw Jesus walk on water. What's amazing about that is that Peter had enough faith at this time when Jesus came walking to the apostles that were in a ship and they were in a storm, and Jesus came walking on water to them. He had enough faith for just a little bit of time. And he said, "Lord, if it is you, bid me to come." Nobody else did that. But that man, Peter, the Lord said, "Come." And that's what for some of you, that's what God is saying right now. You know, if it's you speaking to me, then you know, call me. We'll come. He's always so inviting. Well, anyway, Peter, he took the step of faith and he got out of that boat. And that man was walking on water. And he walked on water until he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started looking at the storm, and then he sank. And that's true. Whenever we take our eyes off of Christ and we look at our circumstances, we start to sink. And it was great what he did. You ever around somebody who prays these long prayers? Maybe you're might thinking, "Yeah, that's like you, Pastor. You're not praying long prayers, but you're long-winded. You haven't even gotten to the second verse yet." Anyway, we'll get there. Not today, of course. But as he was sinking, he said, "Lord, help." Nice, powerful, short prayer. I love powerful, short prayers. "Lord, help." And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and helped him get back into the boat. And some of you might need God's help. Just cry out to him. He will help you. Now, I say all these things because Jesus did so much, and Peter was a witness to all these things. And the greatest thing that Jesus allowed Peter to witness, well, he allowed him to see him raise a girl from the dead, but Peter saw the resurrected Christ. Peter saw, after Jesus was brutally beaten and he hung on the cross for hours, shedding his blood, unrecognizable, after 3 days of Jesus being, he was in heaven, his spirit was in heaven, but his body was in the ground. After 3 days, Jesus rose. No one saw the resurrection of Christ, but they saw the resurrected Christ. And you had to be from the beginning of Jesus' ministry to a witness of the resurrected Christ to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. And you had to be called by Jesus himself. Peter met all those requirements. So what does this all say? This is all saying that this book, this short little epistle, is written by an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a close personal friend of Jesus, someone who was with Jesus his whole earthly ministry, and someone who was among the inner circle of Jesus. If anybody knew some dirt on somebody, it would be the inner circle. You know who knows the most dirt on me? Guess. My wife. My wife, she knows the real Dave. Nobody else other than God and me. My wife, and it's amazing she loves me. It is. That's a miracle. But anyway, and Peter tells us from an eyewitness account these truths about God that are to be received. And it's to be received by every single one of us. Now, I wish I could spend more time with you. My intent was to go through 11 verses here, but unfortunately that didn't happen today. But I pray that God's Spirit does minister to your heart. And I'll just end with this. One of the ideas that Peter is conveying, because these folks were being persecuted because of their faith, he wanted to encourage them to look past the circumstances to the promises of God. Because if you look at the circumstances, they will discourage you, the circumstances of life. But if you look at the promises of God, which he mentioned these things that are reserved for us in heaven, eternal life and the kingdom of God and the different things that we didn't get into that are reserved for us in heaven, they will cause you to rise, cause joy to rise up within your heart. So I want to encourage you as a close, for those of you who are going through some tough times, get into 1 Peter. Set your mind on things above. Look to the promises and stop looking at your circumstances, and God will see you through. God bless you. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for how faithful you are. And Lord, as we close the service, we pray, God, that you would just minister to our hearts, even through these words, the messages of the song. I thank you so much for these truths that we can read and we can sing. And more than anything, God, we pray that you would be glorified. We honor you, Jesus, and we thank you for your love. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.